Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an episode, it's been a while, of Ministry Along the Way Radio. I am Demetria, and it has been a long, long time. But we are still here. We are still going to be doing shows. It's just been a while. Let me see if my co-hosts for today are on with us yet. Ashley, are you there?
Hello?
You are there, okay? Yeah, I saw you sitting there. You've been sitting in the chat in the on the queue for about 10 minutes. So I saw you there. You just didn't know that you were in. I got your text message. And Tanyelle, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Ashley.
Okay, Tanyelle is there. Ashley is there. We already have a listener tuning in, which is amazing. We haven't been on for months. And there are reasons for that. There's a whole long story for that. But we have been on a hiatus, and I just felt like talking today. So this is not a permanent day and time. I want to say that off the bat. But it's just been a while, and I just wanted to get back out there over the internet and chat a little bit. So thank you guys for tuning in with me. For calling in and joining me. So tell me, let's do a little updating. Tanya, how's it been going?
It's been going really great. Kind of busy, but it's been going great.
Yeah. How about you, Ashley?
Everything's been going really good on my end, too. Just started a new job. Just got finished training with that. I've been on the road for about a month. And I'm actually just getting back home yesterday.
Yeah, so you've actually got some rest to get caught up on, don't you?
Yeah, I got a house to clean after my husband.
Oh, well, forget about the rest. You won't be getting much rest, at least not today then, huh?
No.
No. And for those of you who may not have tuned in with us before, Ashley is my daughter. She lives in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I'm just glad that she's able to tune in with us today. I know y'all are used to hearing my voice and Tanya's voice, but you may not know who Ashley is. So I just wanted to say that. And things are going pretty good for me. One of the reasons we were on the hiatus is because I had a few medical issues and just took some time off of that. I don't have to tell you that, but I just want to give you a little explanation because we did have some very faithful listeners who tuned in for all our episodes and listened to the archives. So just to give you somewhat of an explanation. And you know how it is, after you stop doing something, it kind of takes a while to get it back going again. So that's kind of mm-hmm. where we are. I've got some other things that still have to be ironed out and put in place, and then we'll be back up and running on a regular basis. That is our hope and our prayer. So with that said, welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Basically, you know what, guys? This show is basically going to be between the three of us, and like I said, we do have a caller in the queue. Basically, those listening in on the archives, you're gonna be a part of this conversation later. That means I didn't do a whole lot of promoting or advertising this show, which is just fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But today's topic is, are you not entertained? You recognize where that phrase comes from?
Gladiator.
The Gladiator, that's right, that's right. So anybody who saw that movie, The Gladiator with Russell Crowe, that was one of the famous lines, are you not entertained? And basically that came from these people, these men who were condemned to die in the arena, ancient Rome. They're fighting to the death as the spectators sitting in the stands watched and cheered. They were so entertained by this gruesome activity going on in the middle of this arena. And it got me to thinking about things that happen in our society, the news that we get, the different things that we're exposed to that roll out. Are we entertained by it? So it just kind of got my juices flowing, if you will.
Well,
and
one of the crazy things about that time is the destruction of the government and just how the common people were treated at that moment was horrible. The economy was horrible. So the whole concept of the arena and those games was to pacify the people from what was actually going on in their lives so that they would be happy or appear happy no matter what was going on and wouldn't really become diplomatic.
So at the same time, they wouldn't even notice what was going on with government?
At all. Because they go from their horrible lives and then just kind of look for the next quote-unquote Super Bowl Sunday of the arena.
And it's so interesting that you say Super Bowl Sunday, because I've often thought as I'm watching a football game, like, this is brutal. This is today's gladiator fights. That's mm-hmm. what this is. And they do refer to themselves as gladiators sometimes. Like, wow, it's you know, that's a whole other thing. I'm not speaking against football, Tanya. Okay? I'm just acknowledging that it's brutal.
But I mean, no, we're talking about current events, and it is a gladiator sport, and football has just recently, I don't know if you want to say taken a hit, but with the whole concussion conversation, you know, so it, you know, it is fair to say it is a brutal sport, and you know, the NFL just admitted recently to you know, the concussions and the high impact of the sport contributing to CTE, which everybody knew mm-hmm. it, but now it's finally, you know, coming out because of the movie Concussion and all of the pressure being
right.
applied on the NFL. Yep. So,
well, with that said, it does not cause the, and I'm talking about the fans right now, the spectators, it doesn't cause them to back off the game anymore. You know what I'm saying? It does it change their view and say, well, things need to change in this sport, or are they like, you know what, so what? I'm waiting for my next Saints game.
Well, the reality is when we live in kind of the individualistic times that we do, we look at the people on that field and we decide, hey, they chose to be a part of this, you know, quote unquote, unlike the gladiators who were forced to do it. They chose to be a part of this, and they're receiving a decent amount of compensation, which is, that in itself is a whole other conversation about how these football players earn millions, and these teachers are trying to get by on whatever they can. And so that kind of pacifies to the general public the seriousness of what's kind of going on with these guys' bodies while they're out there on the field, because they are compensated a very good bit. And it is an option that they take.
Well, and then loving the sport too, Niecy, since you said, because I do enjoy it, and also had, you know, family member that played it to a high level, and then knowing someone. And so you do ask the question of, you know, why would you play? So, because this isn't brand new. Like, even if you talk to some of the athletes, like, the take away the concussions, just the injuries that come from it, it's a very brutal. However, it's a part of, you know, the sport community. So it's just one of those sports that people decide to play. The issue with the concussions and the CTE, I think, is more or less is because when players would get concussions and get hurt and not knowing what was going on with themselves, the doctors would okay them on the field, because they have docs that are on the field, and they would okay them to go back into the game. Or players would be in fear of if they didn't go back out and play, they would lose their spot. You lose your spot, you may not, you know, have a job.
You lose money.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So then they would go back out and they would play when someone should have, you know, because there are there's protocols in place, and someone should say, sit down, no, don't go back out. And so that has been a real issue because, you know, there was a 60-minute interview done with some of the sports figures. Even the people who come out and say they have CTE will come out, will say that they would play the game again. However, if they knew the proper information, they would have played the game a different way. So that's what they're trying to start. Right, they're trying to start with, like, little league sport of teaching better technique. I'm not a football player. I like to watch it. I don't know if the techniques will change or lessen, you know, the injuries, but that's what they're trying to do. And to Ashley's point, you know, that's one of the questions that I had about the payment part of it. But when you look at you know, someone working in the government sector, when we talk about education, and somebody working in a for-profit industry. It's entertainment, and mm-hmm. so the owners decide what they want to pay their workers, you know, their employees. If we were to work with, you know, pick a place, you know, if you work for Microsoft or whatever, so that they set the salary. So it is kind of like, God, this is a school teacher, but it is fair that they get paid what they get paid because of the industry and what their owner decides to put on that paycheck, I guess, you know.
But how much of it is driven by the spectators? You know, how much
all
do we have to
all
say in that?
Yeah.
Not just in football, in basketball as well, because those players get injured. And I didn't realize, well, once upon a time, basketball didn't go as long as it did. And that, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm not a super fan or anything, but it's been mm-hmm. irritating me. It's like they play so many games in a season. It's like it wasn't always this way. Why did it change? They are so brutal on their body, and then they have to sit out games, and it's because of us, the fans.
Yeah. Everything. You go to them, you, again, when we're talking about entertainment, you music, movies, all of that, you want to, there's a timing of how soon you're going to put out your next record. There's a timing of, you know, how many albums you're going to put on a song and save some for the next, because it's all about what you can make. These are for-profit industries. And so to answer your question, they added on games because they realized that
they'd make more money with
more
games.
Money. In the basketball arena, the seats are not – you have a – in the football arena, it's, what, 75,000 seats. In basketball, I think it's 17. So, you know, so it's less people. Ticket prices is a little less. So you add more games and to get more money, you know.
And that kind
Go ahead.
That kind of reminds me of being in high school. I went to a huge basketball high school. It was a little small private school, but we dominated in basketball. And I just remember the length that my school would go to for basketball. I mean, kids missing class, kids missing tests, kids coming in from out of the country, some people from Greece, Brazil, Africa. Like, it was overkill. They were uprooting kids from their homes and putting them in homes with coaches or other people who went to the school just so they could play basketball. And it was all fueled by this sponsorship from Nike that the school had. And we wanted to keep that sponsorship and we wanted to keep that money. And there was new basketball shoes every season and brand new uniforms that we didn't necessarily have to pay for. But we had to compromise the standard of just basic sports and compromise the standard of, like, why are you uprooting this kid from his family? Why? So he can put a ball in a hoop, and no one really cares about the emotional trauma that happens to this kid after. I mean, there's a kid who I went to school with who led us to a state championship, got to college, and was devastated by some of the things that happened in his high school time and went a whole different path from his potential because nobody cared enough in high school to decide, hey, no, he's a really good basketball player, but he's a kid.
You know what, it's interesting you bring that up, too, because in the female basketball arena, she's a public figure, so I can't say her name because she had gotten in trouble for some stuff later on.
Yeah, that's understandable.
She's a whole salon. And I remember a conversation having had with her, and she said that she had gone to Tennessee, and that was women basketball, college basketball, they were beasts on the court.
Like, I'm a huge women's Tennessee basketball fan. Like, Candace Parker, huge, so I understand.
So I got an opportunity to meet her at a function at my uncle's house. And I remember her saying that the transition from college to the professional life, because, you know, at that time you had to go overseas, and then finally they got to the NBA. But the way they were treated as far as, and this will go on like a non-recorded, because, you know, if somebody pulls this archive up, but not on the record, I want to say, but that they didn't treat them like humans. They were idolized, and they were given everything. And that's not how life is, basically. And so she had to make that transition from even going to play overseas and still playing professionally, but now you're not in this on a college campus where everybody's doing everything for you and catering to you, and it kind of sets you up for failure in a sense. And I just remember, you know, her saying that, and, you know, and I know later on and she had gotten into some run-in with, you know, some issue, but and so, yeah, and that may be attributed to that. I'm not sure, but
they really don't prep you for the lifestyle that you're about to walk into.
Yeah.
No, they cater to their every need, probably, you know, like you say, you can miss tests or somebody's taking a test for you, and it happens before they get to the professional arena is what I'm trying to say. Like, I hear you talking about this happening in high school. Some kid is getting all of this extra attention, and it's not healthy attention. To me, I love sports, and I don't think sports are a bad thing. I think some sports shape people. I play sports, and it teaches you camaraderie and, teamwork.
Yeah, it's most definitely people that are the problem in sports and not necessarily sports themselves.
Absolutely. There's a lot learned. I mean, you have to learn how to manage yourself and others. I mean, there's a lot learned with sports and people who, had they not been doing sports, participating in sports, would have been doing something worse. So mm-hmm. not to shed like a just negative light on sports, but people, like you just said, kind of make, you know, can make it unhealthy when we're talking about dealing with young individuals and kind of putting them on this high pedestal
yeah.
and not giving them reality at the same time. So, yeah.
In sports at any level or whatever arena we're talking about, to value that individual, like you were saying, Ashley, they didn't value this kid and what he, you know, put in that, building that character. They valued what he could bring them for whatever ulterior motive. And
mm-hmm.
because I'm speaking so much about the fan base right now, because the masses
mm-hmm. yeah.
are not in a position to dictate or to even guide that person. That's what the coaches and the parents, or as you get into the professional levels, the managers and the team owners. But we as fans, we have a part to play in this as well, or we as spectators. And every time we do a show, there's like this underlying theme. So I hope it's coming out. And Ashley, I think you brought it out already when you talked about that high school student and how his talent was valued more than him as a human being and as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we take advantage of that all the time. We are entertained by so much, and it tickles our fancy, or it's something
yeah.
that we're getting out of it. So it's so unbalanced right now. I see it. We've been talking about sports. We see it in politics. You know,
yeah.
this whole circus that's going on that's called this upcoming presidential election campaign. It's nothing but a circus, but on some level.
And regardless of who you're voting for, it's gone too far. It's just really gone
yeah.
too far. Regardless of who you want to vote for, who you feel like should be or shouldn't be, everybody can kind of agree that this whole situation with the election has gone just a little bit too far.
And it's, I mean, is it an unstoppable train at this moment? We're just waiting for the crash. That's,
yeah.
That's where we are right now.
Like, even now, let's take Donald Trump. Whether you like him, love him, want to vote for him or don't, is 100% completely up to you. But if we'd like to be honest about the situation, the Republican Party had absolutely no one who was going to be a viable candidate, and so they needed someone to bring a lot of attention to their side of the fence. Right now, most Democrats are watching Republican debates because they're entertained by the fiasco that's going on.
Yes.
Not necessarily because
yes.
they care anything about their demographic or what they have to say, but they enjoy the spectacle. And so how long do we feed our flesh with spectacles and with trash? Just any kind of garbage that, you know, titillates us. We want to be able to tweet about what we just saw. We want to be able to Facebook about what we just saw. We want to be able to have that water cooler conversation and feel like we know all the latest information and gossip. And now just in life in general, with the 24-hour news cycle, with the way that the TV shows that we have, it's all just become way too much. There's no
yes,
such thing
indeed.
As gossip anymore. It's just all entertainment.
So, Ashley, would you say that then that Donald Trump receiving all of the attention, because I would hope that even the – like, I would hope that they didn't think Donald Trump was going to get all of this attention. At some point, it seemed like Ben Carson was kind of, like, on top. And then all of a sudden, you know, Donald Trump just sprints out of nowhere. And, you know, sometimes you know, reading some of the headlines, you just hear some Republicans just like, what is going on? Like, the embarrassment being there. So
I truly believe that they were trying to use Donald to gain notoriety and then assume that not enough people would want to vote for him or like his ideas or one reason or another, and he'd ended up falling off. But I don't think
that's what I thought.
What I wanted to ask you is that, do you feel that because he's getting all the attention, it's pretty much because of what you just explained, like the way the world has changed all of a sudden. We're such a tweeting, Facebook, you know, we get our news through tweets and what most people, I don't get my news, most people are getting their news through tweets, and we're such a selfie society. Everybody's snapshotting pictures all over the place, not really getting any factual information. And so this is what we see now. Donald Trump, the reason he's so popular is he's benefiting from how people have become lately. Like, this is, you know, he's answering
the
call.
Yes, I really do. Let's even look at, in a debate with Donald Trump, when he's asked specifically about his policies, what he'll say is, nobody's better than me at this. I'll handle it. I'll negotiate. But he has absolutely no plans that's let out. And I think I was watching CNN, and somebody, it was either CNN or Fox, and somebody made a statement. They were like, you know, Donald Trump's come up with, like, a really good catchphrase, you know, make America great. Yeah. And he was like, you know, you can walk up to a Donald Trump supporter and say, why do you want to vote for Donald Trump? And they'll say, oh, it's because I want to make America great again. And then he said, but you can walk up to a Rubio supporter and ask them why they voted for Rubio. And they're going to give you a list of a whole bunch of stuff and whatever. And I'm like, why? Why are you so lethargic about the guy who has the list of legitimate reasons, but you're in love with the person who can only shout out a catchphrase?
And I think you answered it, and that's why I asked, just so it can be said out loud, too, because, you know, you answered it when you mentioned the fact that this society has become a Twitter snapshot, and help me if I miss anything else, Instagram, everything is instant, quick, catchphrases, hashtag this, and, you know, and nobody's taking the time to literally read the facts. On anything, not just politics, but on anything. Yeah.
And you know, where does that take us to society? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we bound for as a society?
We are the society of instant gratification.
Yes.
Give me the short and sweet. Can you microwave this for me, please?
That's where we are. Let me entertain you. Just entertain us. I'm bored. Please entertain me.
Really?
Or I don't, like you said, I don't want to look at my life, and I don't want to examine my life to see where I need to change. It might cost me too much. It might cause me to be responsible.
And it's like, hello?
You had a thought?
What I was going to say is I was a scandal fanatic, loved scandal. I think everybody who talked to me continuously would know, like, I love scandal. I love Olivia Pope, her sassiness, her problem solving, the money, the white hat, all of it. I loved it all. And then I had to step back and realize with the last season, which is where I stopped watching, okay, she finally had it all. She had the house. She had the White House, she had the president, she had all this stuff. She even had the baby that she wanted so desperately. And then she had the abortion. I realized, okay, I need absolutely nothing to do with this show because what it's entertaining me with is not who I want to be. I'm surrounding myself with things that I don't even agree with, and I'm rooting for a person that I wouldn't like in life. What am I putting in my spirit to where I'm cheering for the lady who's cheating on her husband? Or cheering for the lady who's stealing someone else's husband. And I'm looking at my husband every day like, I wish you would cheat on me because something's going to happen to you. Like, I have to check myself and what I filter into my spirit.
You know, Ashley.
And if we're honest with us. Go ahead, Tanya.
No, you go ahead, Misha. Go ahead.
I just want to say a lot of the times, because we're so distracted with the storyline, and you're right, you could be watching that and your heart is pumping in certain scenes, like, oh, my God, you're all into it. We can be so distracted by that we miss what you just said. Hold on, this isn't good. And how many times does that happen to us?
It's
when God can show us a thing, when he can, it's just good to be in tune with him and let the Spirit of God lead you, because he does speak to us.
You do.
And he will guide us. He is the
that
Spirit of
you
truth.
Just...
He will reveal truth to us if we would take heed.
You just said, I was just getting ready to say that. Seriously, and that happens often that we, but that's the joy. That's the joy of being, you know, to allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's the joy. Just what you said and just what, you know, the word tells us that the Spirit will lead us and guide us. So when you're watching shows, the Holy Spirit will help you to discern whether or not this is something you should be watching or listening to or doing, or conversations you should be a part of. And so I love that aspect of the relationship with Christ. I really do. And so there are things that, like Ashley, I was a Housewives fan. And when I realized that, what's going on, you know, here? And I stopped watching it, and I don't have a problem, and I'm not bashing anyone at all. And
that's right.
As well as Scandal. Because I was reading the word daily, I wanted to add on to what Missy said, and I was praying often and reading daily, not just because of television shows, just that was, this has become a part of my life. And it, you know, allowing the word to kind of guide me just daily, period, get me ready for today. And as I was watching Scandal, I just looked at it and said, every 5 minutes he's throwing her in the closet somewhere and like, what kind of mess? And she's fixing everybody's life, but she can't fix her own. And it just was enough for me. But that was the Holy Spirit and the discernment that he was giving me. Yeah, so, yeah.
But, and I've had to come to, like, writing off Shonda Rhimes shows in general. When I started looking at, I loved How to Get Away with Murder. When I started looking at the over saturation of homosexuality and everything like that, I'm like, what am I really feeding my spirit with? I mean, I can take out these 2 hours to listen to some teachings or something like that, or read my Bible, but what my heart right now is really desiring is to watch, you know, Olivia Pope fix so-and-so's life and then have hers in a wreck, or to watch How to Get Away with Murder, where they might have a 5-minute sex scene with these two gay guys. And I'm like, this is what I want to be doing. Why do I want to be doing this? Why do I want to be watching this when I'm telling myself I want a better lifestyle? But I'm entertaining myself with a horrible lifestyle that's against everything that is at the root of what I want to be.
Isn't that something? And how easy is it to do when you're not on guard, when you haven't been
getting
your spirit, man, and you just go along, you know, for months, weeks, years, and not even realize. But when God speaks, when he gets your attention, it's best to yield, to not make excuses, and to he may be guiding you in another direction, and we don't want to go opposite of where he's telling us to go. I think this is a good point. Let's take a break right here, and we'll pick back up on the other side of it, okay?
Entertain you. Let me make you smile. Let
Hello and welcome back. This is Ministry Along the Way Radio on Block Talk Radio. And we are talking about being entertained in today's society and those that we might get distracted from that we really need to be paying attention to in our lives. But we are so distracted by what is entertaining us, what is feeding our flesh, that we neglect to tend to our souls and tend to those things that will build character in us. And so far, guys, I am loving this conversation. I'm really getting a lot out of it. And thank you. Thank you for joining me in this. Let's kind of switch gears. We've talked about politics. We've talked about entertainment as far as sports is concerned. These are areas you wouldn't even really think about, right? That could be distracting.
Yeah.
That could be drawing you away from what God wants you to be. And that is us at our best, what God has for us. Not our concept of what we have in mind. Like, this is the life I want to live. This is where I want to be in 10 years, in 15 years. There is an ultimate purpose, and that was designed by our maker, our creator, and he knows best. And to think that something as subtle as a television show can draw you away from that, that boggles my mind.
Yeah.
It does. But recently, we are in a special time in the body of Christ this week, right? This is Easter weekend or Resurrection Sunday, as we like to call it, the time of our Savior's passion, that week that that led him to the cross, the reason that he ultimately came here. And there was a big production that just went on last Sunday that has been in the news. Been a lot of buzz about it, and it was something that Tyler Perry had to do with. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he wrote it. It's my understanding he was asked to be a part of it, but it was called Passion, a modern-day musical depiction of the week, the days leading up to Christ's death. Am I correct in that?
I think it was like a Tyler Perry Presents kind of thing, and not necessarily something that he authored.
Okay.
Yeah, from what I tried to read on it when you told me we were going to, discuss this topic, it seems like he didn't write the script, because he said he had to agree to it when I read his interview, and that he also passed the script by some other ministers to kind of look over it to make sure the wording and all was the same as the scripture.
Yeah.
Well, he said to make sure it still carried the gospel of truth, and So I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what, this production has gotten so much buzz. It was a live production. Different parts of it going on simultaneously in New Orleans. By that I mean there was a concert area with a stage and a bigger crowd gathered there, where singers would come out and perform. That's where Tyler was narrating from. At the same time, there was this huge 20-foot illuminated cross being carried by multiple people down the streets of New Orleans. Then there was the cast walking their way through the city, depicting different scenes from the Passion. So much buzz, from what I understand. And let me say this, I didn't see it that night as it was being performed live. I just saw a small, very small portion of it on yesterday. So I did not see it all. I do want to say that. The buzz is people either loved it, it was great, it was wonderful, or people were like, that was a mess. And that made me want to talk about it, because at the end of just hearing different things from different people, even on the radio, they were calling into like WWL local talk show radio a secular radio station to talk about this. So I'm like, wow, it really had an impact either way. I don't know, guys. Did you see it, Ashley, at all?
I am a person who does not watch anything that Tyler Perry puts his hands on.
Okay, stop right there. Tanyelle, did you see it? You saw the whole thing?
No, I didn't want to go see it. No.
Okay. All right. And I know where Ashley's going, but I guess we'll let that conversation unfold. As it relates to the passion in this particular story, what did you take from it? Tanyelle, since you saw, what did you get?
Well, no, I didn't. I only saw glimpses of it on YouTube because, you know, I am not a television watcher, so I tried to go on YouTube to just see what it was and the segments that I could catch. It just seems like it was a lot of, like, a rock concert or something, music, you know, a lot of rock music going on. And so I can't give a fair analysis of it because I didn't see the entire, you know, scene, but it just, the commercials or trailers that I did see, it just seems like Jesus supposedly, you know, in this urban setting and a lot of rock music going on around it. And I remember seeing him at a food truck getting, like, performing the miracle of feeding the multitude. Yeah. I don't know if that food truck was getting the food for the communion or to feed the multitude.
For that Last Supper. He was getting their dinner.
Oh, wow.
Last Supper dinner.
Okay.
You know.
Wow.
Where was
the body and the blood?
Wow. I don't know.
They had
got
a bottle of
food truck.
A cup that they passed around. They were actually seated in a park. They were on park benches. And Jesus broke off a piece of bread, and he would hand it to each one as he was talking. And then he had a bottle of wine, and it was, you have to see it. We do have a caller in the queue. Caller, you want me to go ahead and add you now? Press the number one, please. And I'll give you a minute to do that. We can continue talking. What I'm concerned about, our caller, I'm going to go ahead and add.
There we go.
Hello. It's
hello.
Heather, everybody.
Hey, Heather.
Can you hear us okay?
Hey. Hi, Heather.
So,
Heather, you did see the entire production?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
So give us your thoughts. And let me say, Ashley just made a bold statement. She doesn't watch anything Tyler Perry has to do with. She's not a fan, okay? That's what that means. Heather, I know you are a Tyler Perry fan, so I really want to hear your point of view on this production. Go ahead.
Well, I think it could have been better based on, you know, the whole thing. I don't know what his point was in it. But I feel it could have been better because some parts I didn't understand, and I'm like, what am I watching?
You didn't understand where it paralleled to the Bible?
Right. I'm like, what am I watching? So I watched the whole thing, but based on my opinion, it could have been better, and based on his plays, it could have been better. But I know he didn't produce it or whatever. He was asked to do it. I know that. So, he was asked to do it.
So did
or whatever,
he?
But
he didn't write it, but he did. Did he produce it? Like as far as the production, did he script? Right. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't.
And
like he sat there and wrote it.
This wasn't his baby. This was someone else's baby that he helped put together.
Right. He was asked to help do it.
One of the things that was being brought out before the production was that this was going to be a way for people to see the gospel in a way they've never seen it before. unsaved people are going to see this and it's going to, you know, move them to come to Christ. And I'm still looking for where, when, how.
That's
what I'm thinking. Maybe somebody out there did come to Christ. I'm just going by what they were saying their intent was. And
mm-hmm.
maybe that wasn't their whole intent, but that was at least part of it.
And you don't see that evidence.
How do you do that with, they were, every song that I heard was a secular song. They even sang, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was singing, My Love Is Your Love.
Oh, are you serious? So we just mixed the word with the church like that and didn't even care.
Right. She was.
Ashley, I was waiting for you to say that phrase. I was waiting. I was like, I know Ashley is going to go all D. Craig Lewis on me, and she's going to give me that phrase. What's that phrase?
Mixing the world with the church, the profane with the clean.
With the sacred, yes.
Yeah.
Is there, and that's all I could think when I saw it. This is a mixture of the sacred and the profane. And how do you get, it's polluted.
You might
have the good, you might have some truth, but I don't know. It threw me off. It absolutely.
Right.
And now it comes to the question, was this entertainment? And if so, are we satisfied with that?
Well, the for me, Demetria, not going was, you know, I'm not a huge Tyler Perry fan, but not, you know, for various reasons, but not going was because, again, you know, when you go back to saying about the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me on what should I allow into me, you know, in my body,
mm-hmm.
in my spirit or not. And so if it's not going to help me grow, then you know, then I'm not going to participate. And I just didn't, you know, I don't want
to. Didn't see the need,
you know,
to be there.
I didn't see the need to be there. Right, right. And so for.
And so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question right here. Because
mm-hmm.
can we not be entertained? Is everything about growth? Can you just, like, go to a movie and just. Yeah.
Yeah, for me personally, when you're gonna put Jesus in it, I don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not play. Like I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be
mm-hmm.
entertained by like Christ. This is serious.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lord of my life. He you know, he gave
right.
my life for salvation. So no, that part not.
Right.
But if it were something else, and if it was just a movie or a play in a park about something that I should be entertained and I'm going to have laughs and jokes and whatever, then we should be entertained.
Yeah. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
why that's why some people are so passionate about the way they feel, and that's why I feel the way I do about
mm-hmm.
it. We are, it's like, no, you just crossed the line. And people are like, well, no, you don't understand.
That's my God. You can't just entertain me with God.
And it should be a story. It's not just a story.
Yes.
And I think we right here in this setting, like, we should preface that because, you know, people will assume that when you say living a Christian life or following Christ is just like stale life, and it's certainly not, right? And so we're not trying to say that you shouldn't have fun, and even living in Christ
right.
is fun, and reading the word
yeah.
is so enjoyable. I just gotta say that it really is. It's better than any television show, reality show that you can watch. There's so much drama in this Bible, but what we're trying to say for the folks that will be listening to this later on, I think it's important to note, is that, no, you shouldn't take the gospel lightly. Like, this is nothing to just,
right.
you know, glance across and say, let me just put a bunch of catchphrases to it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and a bunch of secular, you know, stuff behind it. So
but
if Tyler was doing
for
another
me,
production, I probably would have gone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. For me, this is to be expected from Tyler Perry for me, just based off of his Madea plays that continuously mix, you know, the secular world with the quote-unquote Christian world. where 1 minute Madea, who, let's just start off, is a man in a dress and is violating all up in there with that. But Madea will go from cursing 1 minute to at the end of the play, we all praying, like, but with no growth from one play to the next.
Right.
You know, we got Missy Elliott, work it, put that thing down, flip it and reverse it. In, you're saying this in your play that has Christian overtones when that whole entire song is about oral sex.
Oh, see,
but we don't want to have these conversations because we don't want to. We see Tyler Perry's famous and he has money, and we're like, yeah, one of us. You know, having a play or a movie that's partially about God isn't good enough.
But this is a question too. I want to know, since we talk, because I don't like, I'm not a Tyler Perry. I don't like his. I have seen some of his movies. I just think it's poor acting. That's why I don't like.
Yeah, that too. And on top of like,
that's that. But
camera lenses, camera angles, it's just horrible sometimes.
But that, I mean, that's why and there's some other people that I can call. Like, I'm not, you know, I mean, I don't like, you know, certain movies because if it's not a good storyline, if I can figure it out immediately, it's just like, what happened? And that's the reason. So I'm even wondering when he does his plays, I mean, really, is he, I don't think he's trying to do that to have somebody have an altar call and somebody come to Christ. I really don't, I don't know. I've never been to one of his live plays. I don't think that's his intention, though, that he's trying to have somebody come to
get
Christ.
Get people saved, yeah.
I don't, yeah. So, you know, it just seems like he's showing a glimpse of a woman who lives in a neighborhood, and now she cusses up a storm, but she still attends church on Sunday. And
so,
right.
A carnal Christian.
So it just, you know, so I don't think he's trying to, yeah, get people saved. I don't know, Tyler. If you ever listen, let us know, you know, if that's your intent.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to bad, you know, I don't want
to
get on him for something that
he's trying to entertain us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't want to expect something from him that he's really not trying to do. And I don't, because to me that would be a little unfair to say if that's not his intent. If his intent is to entertain, then he's doing a great job because it shows, right?
But it does, because that word you mentioned, Ashley, earlier you said these Christian overtones, because the overtones are there. Are we just assuming that you mentioned that it's got anything to do with the gospel, and those of us who are true believers, we're waiting for it. We're waiting to fall in with it. So, you know, I don't know if you remember, Ashley, I don't know if we watched that clip together, but it was a whole breakdown of the Megafest.
Yeah.
And this is a EX Ministries production, and they showed a clip of, I think it was Kiki Sheard, and if it wasn't her, then I apologize. But she was.
It was.
They did, like,
from what you were about to say, it was.
They were talking to her, and she was explaining why she liked
thug men. She liked
thug men.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, she's talking about the gospel and how this music is supposed, and I'm like, sweetheart, how it just came off as total entertainment and had nothing to do with worshiping our Savior. At the end of the day, if you're doing gospel music, I'm thinking it's supposed to be about our Savior and not about entertaining the masses. And so that's what I'm getting from even this production of Tyler Perry's this passion thing. Was this just to entertain, or was this about the gospel? And I still don't have that answered.
Because
I have an answer in myself.
Right. And you know it was entertaining. And so, but, I mean, well, I'm not going to put that on you, but it just seems like it was entertainment. But again, I just kind of go back to his Madea stuff. Once you put Jesus, and
right.
to be involved in anything, the entertainment should end. And I don't. And
right.
from what I'm hearing from Heather, it just seems like he didn't. It didn't. He didn't differentiate.
Yeah.
Right. This was in a different. This was
the same type of production or something. I didn't really see all of it. And again, in fairness to Tyler, when he's entertaining, obviously he does great at it. But when we're talking about Jesus Christ, we see the word entertainment,
right.
Even if we're going to Sunday, if we're going to worship service, we shouldn't be going to be entertained. Everything should be continuing to direct us to Christ.
Let's even have that honest conversation about church now, because we can move there and we can talk about how much entertainment goes on in the church house instead of actual teaching, actual worship. I mean, we go a bit far, especially in the African American church, and really do tread that line between what is true worship, what is true teaching, and what is entertainment. You know, when your pastor's standing up on top of a chair screaming and hemming and hawing, is he really teaching you, or is he getting you riled up and getting you emotional and getting you into the entertainment factor, getting you involved into his entertainment factor?
And it's a good question. And again, to go back with the underlying message of the show and with the thoughts that we're trying to stir up here, I think we have hit that mark. It's just us, whoever will hear the show, if we can pay attention to when we're being entertained and when God is really wanting to speak to us or use a moment to speak to us. So I'm trying to come to an end on the topic because our show time is winding down. But before we leave, I want to ask Heather, are you still there with us? Heather?
She might have clicked off.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with you, Ashley. Okay, Heather, I'm going to go ahead and mute you then. Before we leave, with this being our Easter weekend and our thoughts are going toward that whole time of Jesus and his sacrifice for us, Ashley, I just want each of us to speak to what that means to us. Just real quick, what does this Easter weekend and Easter Sunday, the whole resurrection, how does it speak to you? Oh, I'm so sorry. Ashley, I muted you instead of Ashley.
Okay.
Instead of Heather. I'm sorry. Start over.
All righty. So a big thing for me with my life had been that I always thought that I was pretty good with God. Until I started realizing that I truly wasn't. And so this Easter weekend for me is my true wanting for what he did for me on that cross. My true wanting of not wanting to have wasted his time on that cross for me. Not wanting to have let him go through all of that for me and me not recognize that, understand that, and then have an action behind me recognizing that. So this Easter weekend, for me, probably more so than any other, is me just being honest with myself and saying that I have not lived up to the standard that I should have for what he did for me and that I need to correct that.
Amen. Amen. Tanyelle?
For me, it just makes me more excited about spreading God's word and spreading his message. So I want to take it off of me for just a second. But I want to take my last comments off of me, and just my last comments will be closing out with this because of what we've been talking about so much. And I'm coming from Matthew 7:13-14, and it's about the narrow way. And so 13 starts, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many, many who will go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The narrow way is the way of Jesus Christ, and so just closing with that, it just makes me want to share with folks just to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you about what you listen to, where you're going to worship, pretty much, and what you're going to do from day in, day out, so that you can continue toward the narrow way.
Amen. Amen.
And for me, it's such a tremendous time. I kind of feel like you said, Ashley, I don't want to waste a moment or waste not a second of understanding what his actions bought for me. Eternal life in his presence. Oh, I don't have to live life this side of heaven in fear without him. I can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up a whole new world when I really embraced the Son of God and saw who he was in my life and let him be the Lord of my life. It was such an awesome act, and you're right. I feel like, you know, here, you gave me this life, and you did all this for me. You died for me. I need to give back to you this life. You saved me. You bought this life. You bought this life with your life, and that means something, and I'm still working it out every day of my life. I don't get it right every day of my life. But that is what is in my heart, and I know it is, to be right with God, to live a life that is pleasing to him. And I just thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And with that said, we are going to wish everybody a really, really happy Easter and Resurrection Sunday. And Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Yes, he is alive and well.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Goodbye.